I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Remnant Call. I am your host this evening, Brother Frank, and my co-host, Brother Todd, are here with you this evening. Say hello, Brother Todd.
Hey, hello, Brother Todd.
Amen. Amen. Anyways, we're just excited to bring another program, and tonight is going to be a special program, Rise of the Kinsman Redeemer. Folks, we are in such a time as we have never known. And if we have ever needed a redeemer, it's right now. Yeah. And I am just excited what we're going to get into tonight, because I'm hoping that many of you listening this evening and through the archives will be opened up to maybe some new understandings in the book of Ruth specifically we're going to look into, and hopefully excite you to look into that deeper meaning in God's word. There's always the belief was in ancient times there was three levels of understanding in the word. There was that, you know, the surface, that, you know, just the what is the practical meaning of this, you know, the literal meaning of this. And then there was the kind of the spiritual, the underlying spiritual implication. And then there was what they call the rhema word, that deep, mysterious underlying, that word you got to dig a little deeper for. And I'm hoping tonight we get to touch just a little bit into the rhema word of God. And so I'm just excited and glad everyone's here. And I want to take a moment and pray, but I just want to mention a few things before we ask God to just bless us tonight. And I just want to mention that this week I had watched Todd a program on just the sufferings in North Korea. And there's roughly estimated about 400,000 believers in North Korea. Hmm. And it is just what they go through. It is so horrible. The absolute communist dictatorship that rules those people with an iron fist. There is nowhere in the world like North Korea, and the sufferings that they go through and the starvings that they go through. And I know they see these believers there, and they're fighting for everything they have just to get a scrap of the word, to try to hide a little bit of the scripture, to maybe take a peek at if nobody's around. And when I see their life, I look at my life and think, wow, What do I have to complain about?
Yeah.
I mean, life in North Korea is so bad. They escaped to China for a better life.
That's crazy.
And China is dangerous to the believer. And so it just goes to show. And so as we pray tonight, I just want everybody to remember North Koreans and the Chinese too, and just the sufferings that they're going through. And we got to remember, as believers, we got to have compassion. Don't forget the suffering body of the Lord Jesus out there. And I encourage anybody, if you do not have the app on your phone or subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs, please do so, because they're doing a great work in trying to bring an awareness and help the persecuted church around the world, because what's happening over there is coming here to America. Okay, God is no respecter of persons, and the sufferings that are happening will come here, and that's why we've got to be ready. That's why the remnant call exists, so we can call the body the remnant of Jesus, the remnant of Yeshua, and let them know that the God that we serve is able to strengthen them, and he will get us through unto the end. And so we're just glad for everybody to be here. And also want to just pray, besides not only for North Korea, but I want to just pray for all the missionaries that are out there in the world right now, laying down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread. Yeah. And so, Todd, I'm going to ask, would you open up with a word of prayer this evening and remember our brothers, and also remember the peace in Jerusalem. Oh, yeah. Jesus commanded us to pray for peace in Jerusalem. And God is doing a mighty work amongst people. I mean, there is the Lord is bringing many of the natural born Jews to know Jesus right now. And it is a powerful time over there. So, Todd, would you open us up with a word of prayer tonight?
Yes, please, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for graciously sparing us this far into the week. Lord, I want to thank you for always providing for us and seeing that we have what we need. Lord, I want to pray for all those in countries like Korea and in China and all these countries whose governments have completely thrown you out. I want to pray for your remnant there, Lord, that you continue to keep them strong, keep them safe, Lord.
Amen.
Because they're our role model right now, our current day role model, Lord. They're pretty much what we have to look forward to when things come crashing down here. So I pray that you give us your Holy Spirit and that you give us the sense to ask for your Holy Spirit so that we will be strengthened and we'll be equipped when those days do come. Keep us strong, Lord, and bless this show. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're just glad to be here again. You know, I feel like so often there are so many people who just are wanting to hear something with some meat on it this day and age. And I hope here at the Remnant Call that you hear words week in and week out with some meat on it. And because that's what we want to do. We want to give you a broadcast that will not only strengthen your faith, but give you something to chew on. And so I spoke about last week about the famine that's in the land, and everybody out there, if you're a believer now and you're in touch with what's going on, you know that there is a spiritual famine in the land, and God is trying to raise up a body of believers that are fearless in order to take this message to the dying world in these last days. And so you see that message. And I spoke about last week how we're going to talk about in an upcoming episode real soon, maybe even next week or the week after for sure, a sign of the last days that most people never even mention. It's so important. It's one of those signs that right before the Lord comes, it's one of those things we need to be aware of, because it's happening right now in such a way that when I see it, and we're going to show some research that's going on right now into this particular sign that absolutely is stunning right now. And so I'm looking forward. Hopefully maybe we can get this in next week, I hope, or the week after. But we're going to talk about a sign that is just blowing up and exploding right now. And if this doesn't bring us to our knees, then I don't know what else will do it, because God is like, he's waving the flags even in the heavens, even the stars, you know, the signs in the heavens are shouting out, God is coming again. We got to get ready. So hallelujah. Let's dive right into the message tonight. Rise of the Kinsman Redeemer. And Todd, I don't know about you, but have you ever read something over and over and over again, and just one day it just kind of hits you right between the eyes, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's happened.
I mean, it's like you've read the scriptures over and over again, and you've seen the word, and you've read through a particular passage, but I mean, it's just like one day God just opens it up in a mighty and powerful way. What, it's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
It is.
It's amazing. And so this is what happens, folks, when we walk with God. He begins to reveal to us a lot of times things that maybe we thought we knew or thought we've seen, but we really didn't know quite as well as we thought we did. And he also reveals to us many times things that we thought were right and we were really actually wrong on. And so this happened to me a while ago. I was over at some friend's house and we're just reading through the book of Ruth. You know, Ruth is just such a powerful, powerful story. Four chapters, but I mean, loaded with amazing story. And we've gone through it. But just all of a sudden one day I'm reading this and it just God just opens this up and shows me some things I had never seen before. And by God's grace, I hope to share that with you here tonight on this program. So let's dig right in. If you got your Bible with you, go ahead and turn over to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. And we're going to start reading there. Todd, could you just open us up with the first five verses there in yeah. Ruth chapter 1?
Sure. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. Sorry about that. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons Malion and Chalion.
Ephrathites. I know that's a tough one.
Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. By the way, I got no warning about this. Just thrown on me. Just
okay.
Thrown on
You're
me.
Doing good.
And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Malion and Chalion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband.
Amen. Sorry. Hey, at least I didn't throw to you the generations and Chronicles, okay? hallelujah. No, we're going to, and folks, we're going to dig into a lot of scripture in this one because there's a lot we need to cover in this tonight. So get ready. We're going to dig into the word. So here's the story, okay? There's a famine in the land. And so Ruth's husband, Elimelech, does what any husband would do for the family. He takes care of them. And so he moves them over to Moab because of the famine that's in the land. And so, you know, everything was going good there for a while and seemed like everything was going to be okay. But over time, Elimelech passed away, Naomi's husband. And so now she's a widow, but she still got her sons. And they are both remarried, and so things are still okay. It's tough losing the husband, but she still got her family. And then out of nowhere in this land where things are supposed to be better, you know what I mean? It reminds me of that pastor that said one time, he said, you know, the grass is always greener around the septic tank, right?
Yeah.
And so in this land that's supposed to be better at the time because the famine wasn't hitting there, she loses both of her sons, Malon and Chilion, and they died. And so here's Ruth, or Naomi, excuse me, and she's just left alone with her two daughters. Now, this is tough because their two daughters are both Moabites, and they're all Israelites. And so now she's left without any of her Israelite family there, and she's left with her two daughters, and life is looking pretty rough. And it looks like everything's falling apart, and in the midst of this trial, she hears that the famine is now gone in Judah, and she can go home. And so hearing about this, you know, she decides that, you know, it's time to go home. So Naomi, she takes off and heads home, and her two daughters go with her. And along the way, she stops and she pleads with her daughters and tells them, you know, you've been good to me. You've done well, but I need you to return home. Be with your
people. I don't have any more sons for you. I mean, what are you going to do? Wait, if I had some more children, would you wait for them till they grew up and then so you could have husbands? And that's just not feasible. And so she pleads with her daughters, and Orpah finally submits, even though she loved her mother-in-law, just like Ruth did. She finally decides to go back to her people. But Ruth refused to go. And she tells Naomi, listen, I don't care about where I've come. Listen, I want to not just to be your daughter-in-law, but I want your people to be my people. And I want your God to be my God. And she refused to let, because of her love for her mother-in-law, and obviously because of the knowledge that she had learned of the God of Israel, she refused to leave her. And she wanted to not only just become a part of her and her family, where she came from in Israel, but she wanted the children of Israel. And so after Naomi just realizes she's not going to stop, then she agrees, and they continue back home to her homeland together.
Two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, hallelujah. Whenever you haven't seen somebody in a while, there's a buzz that goes around town. I take it Naomi was a pretty popular person. Okay, they saw her and they're like, hey, wait, this is Naomi. She's been gone for a while. She's back in town. So Naomi, here she comes back in. They greet her. It's a nice greeting. Everything's going well. And in verse 20, it says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dwelt bitterly with me. So here they are. See, the name Naomi actually literally means blessed, okay? And so she says, look, listen, don't call me blessed all right now. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. And the word Mara literally means bitter. For the Almighty has dwelt bitterly with me. In verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So, you know, Naomi, she's so bitter and broken that even when there's this nice reunion, she's so upset with God, she just lets it come out. She's like, how in the world could God have allowed this to happen to her? Okay, she said, I went out full, okay? I left with my family. Everything's going great. I've got it all going on. We've escaped the famine, okay? We're living in a better place right now because they're not suffering like they were here. And I don't understand what I did so wrong that God has brought me back empty. She wasn't even acknowledging her wonderful daughter-in-law, Ruth, at that moment that was with her. Have you ever felt like that?
Mm.
Like God had, everything's going good, you know, I'm doing so well, everything's, you know, great in life right now, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
What has God got against me? And so they're like, look, here's Naomi, you know, she's the pleasant one. I mean, actually, it means pleasant is what it literally means. But she says, don't you dare call me pleasant right now. I am called Mara, bitter.
Hmm.
God has dealt bitterly. She was not happy. And she was not understanding how God could have done that. And she was so angry. Don't call me pleasant, but call me Mara. Folks, I don't know about you, but I know many, many who've been in that place where you think God has got everything against you. And here we see Naomi feels the same way. She was broken. She was weak. Her life, her dreams, her desires had come crashing down, and she had all she had left was this Moabite daughter. I mean, yes, Ruth was a blessing, okay? But I can't help but think Naomi was not very hopeful. I mean, Ruth was a Moabite, and according to the word, the Moabites were forbidden in the land of Israel for 10 generations. So here she's coming back to her homeland, and she's got a Moabite who's not even really supposed to be in the land. It's not a good situation. She feels hopeless. And if I was to look at this story with a fleshly eye, am I wrong? I think she's got a point here. Todd, I really think she's got a point. Because if you look at her from the flesh, she's got nothing at all.
She absolutely does. She lost everything. The men in her life are gone, her husband, her sons.
Yeah, they were, not only is she bad off now, she's lost her family, but now they come back and they don't even have any food to eat. They're so poor. They're so poor. Turn over to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, and let's pick it up there. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. Todd, could you read those first three verses?
Yeah, yeah. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her heap was too light on a part of the field, belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech.
So here they are. They're dead broke. They've got nothing to eat. So Naomi tells Ruth, look, listen, I got a rich relative, okay? And his name's Boaz. And so she tells him, so Ruth says, hey, let me go and let me glean from this man's field, and I will find grace in his eyes. So there was a law back in the land in those days, because I'm going to tell you right now, God took care of the poor. We unfortunately, today in America, many have lost sight and we've forgotten about that. But God took care of the poor. See, there was a law back in the land in Leviticus 19, 19 and 20. And this is what it says. It says, when you reap the harvests of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So here God's saying, listen, when you're harvesting your field, okay, don't worry about the corners and the edge, okay? Just turn the corner. Don't worry about getting every little piece, okay? Leave some there in the corners for the poor. And if, you know, some falls while you're harvesting, leave it on the ground, okay?
Yeah.
Let the poor have it. And then he says, not only the poor, but the stranger too.
Huh.
See, this is the one that kind of gets me, because many times I find that we like to help the believers, okay?
Yeah.
But we don't want to touch and help the unclean ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like to help those who look good and who are somewhat believers, but to reach out to those who are strangers, well, that's filthy and wrong. I don't want to do that, because it seems like we love to reach out when we know that we may possibly get a convert, but to just reach out even to those who we don't know just for the sake of doing it, we very often get uncomfortable. And God says, you know what? Not only am I going to take care of the poor, but I'm going to take care of the stranger. And folks, the truth is we've all been strangers to God at one point in time. taking care of the poor as a believer is not and is a command. God cares for those who can't care for themselves. And I'll tell you what, folks, not to get off on a tangent, but there is nothing more amazing than when you reach out and help those who can't help themselves. I can tell you I can tell you at the homeless shelters, Todd, I mean, people through the years have been afraid to come and help because they've been nervous.
Yeah.
But then once they get there, they're like, wow, I can't believe that. Todd, you've been to shelters, Todd, you know what it's like.
Yeah, it's actually a great experience. Sometimes it's sad. It's nothing to be nervous about, that's for sure. Those people are so grateful to see you there.
You know what I like about the homeless, though, Todd, is they are who they are.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
You can find a lot of fake believers in the world, but the homeless, they are who they are.
Yeah.
All their problems, whatever it is, they just let it hang out.
Yeah.
And I know that when I'm dealing with the homeless and the poor, many times that I'm getting the real person.
Yeah.
And I can deal with the real person. Just like when we finally come clean with God and give him who we are, no matter how filthy we've been, he can deal with that.
Yes.
But here we go. We're going to keep continuing here because we're getting ready to dig into some deep stuff here in Ruth. Ruth, in verse 3, Todd, could you take us down to verse 9? Actually, take us all the way. Yeah, take us all the way down to verse 12. We're going to read a little bit here and set something up.
Okay. And she went. That's where you want me to start. Mm-hmm. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her heap was too light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is Moabitish. This is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Want me to keep going?
Yeah, all the way to 12.
And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn.
Hold on, just before you read any farther there. Boaz is definitely a man.
Yes. It sounds like it.
Yes, he's a little giddy, I think, right here.
Yeah, don't go anywhere else.
He's noticed Ruth's beauty right away, and he says, listen, stay right here.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere else. I got you taken care of, you know, because he's just looking out, right?
Right.
He's just looking out.
Yeah.
And
so he's
human. He sees this beautiful young lady, and I just find it interesting that the kindness, the extra kindness that comes from his heart. Sorry, keep going.
I wonder how many other people he said that to.
Yeah, exactly. Verse 10.
Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Wow, that's a powerful word. So I find it interesting that Boaz says, it has been fully showed to me all that thou hast done. Ruth's reputation had already begun to get around at her godly spirit of who she was. And so this Moabitess woman who has everything going against her, they're coming back. They've lost her wife. She lost her husband. Her mother-in-law's lost her whole family. They've got no food. And she goes out poor, you know, wondering where their next meal is. And here God has bestowed a blessing on them already.
Yeah.
And it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou to trust. Wow.
Mm.
Wow. She had already come under the covering of God.
Wow.
Hallelujah. This cursed woman, this cursed Moabitess, because of what they had done, and we're going to get into that in a minute, but here she had come under, and God was already sending out a blessing, and you start to wonder, maybe God's got a bigger plan. Maybe God's got something else going on. So Ruth goes home to Naomi and tells her of an amazing day, and Naomi tells her Naomi tells her straightforward in verse 22 after she hears this from Ruth. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, in verse 22, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Naomi sees what's going on. And she's like, okay, Ruth, do whatever he just said.
Right.
Don't get found anywhere else. Don't be found in someone else's field. And folks, that is such a word to us.
Mm.
That is such a word to us. Don't get found in anyone else's field. God truly, stay in the work. Stay with him. Stay close to him, because God wants us in his work. Don't get found somewhere else. Don't go out anywhere. Don't follow the maidens around. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. So here, Naomi comes up with this plan. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 6. Todd, if you could read from verse 6 down to 13, folks. I know we got a lot of scripture tonight, but we're going to get into some amazing things here in just a second. Stick with us. Todd, verse 6, if you could start 6 through 13.
And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter than in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not a young man, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman.
Okay, so here he is. Boaz says, you know, listen, you're not like the other women. You don't care just because some good-looking young man comes along and he might be rich or got everything together. You're not going after him. You're not like the rest of them. And he sees that that how righteous and virtuous this Moabitess was, and he's intrigued and infatuated, and he's in love, I believe, already. I mean, this is amazing. In a way, she almost sounds too good to be true, but she is true. And he says, you know what? I will do to thee all that thou requirest, because he knows that as a kinsman of Naomi, he has a duty to Ruth to do. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Verse 12 and 13.
And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning.
So Boaz, he wants to marry her. He wants to be, he wants to redeem her. He wants to do the right thing, but he knows that there's one closer. So there's a waiting line potentially.
Right.
And so, you know, he says, listen, we'll find out tomorrow. Just stay here tonight. You know, and we're going to do the right thing. And praise God, Boaz, I find his wisdom so amazing. Ruth chapter 4 is the next day. Verse 5. Todd, if you could start there in verse 5, right through verse 10.
Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of the Ruth Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it.
All the way through 10, if you can.
Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all that was Malion's, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malion, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day.
So here Boaz gathers all the grabs the elders together, gets the local people together, and his cousin or fan, whatever, he comes down here, and he knows this man well. And so he tells him, you know, hey, listen, there you have a job to do as a near kinsman to redeem this woman, you know, and Naomi and everything. And so he tells the kinsman to do that. And so knowing the kinsman, he says, Boaz continues on, says, oh yeah, and by the way, not only when you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, that you must also have also of it Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And so he says, oh, wait, not only are you going to get this land, which I'm sure he would have loved to have had, but he says, oh, but by the way, you're going to need to marry her daughter-in-law, you know, the son, the wife of the dead son, so that you can now have a baby and raise up some seed unto his name. Right. In the land, so not be cut off. So all of a sudden, what I think starts out as this amazing sounding deal. Right. Hey, who what doesn't want some great land and all that stuff?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, doesn't look so good
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
And so he quickly changes his tune and tells me, "Look, I can't do this. There's no way, you know." And so Boaz, you know, tells him the elders and all the people says, "You're my witnesses this day." That all that was Elimelech's and Chilion's and Malion's of the hand of Naomi. And so And moreover, Ruth the Moabite is the wife of Mahlon. Have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from his brethren and from the gate of his place? Ye are my witnesses this day. Folks, this is where we're getting ready to get deep. See, the law of the kinsman redeemer, okay? See, and back in Deuteronomy, it says in Deuteronomy 25:5, if the brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into unto her and take her with him to be wife, and to perform the duty of her husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Hmm. So the law of the kinsman redeemer was to make sure that the seed of the deceased, that the name of the deceased was not put out of the land, so that they would have a child, and that child would be raised up to keep that dead person's name alive. Hmm. So Boaz is saying, look, I'm going to do what my job of as the kinsman redeemer is. I'm going to have a child so that it can be raised up in Malion's name.
Right.
See, Malion, he had no children. This was the end of their lineage. That's it. Over. And Boaz says, no, it's not going to happen because I'm going to fulfill the role. So here he's going to raise up this thing and everything's going to be amazing, you know, like that. And so God is blessing Naomi by keeping her family's name alive. He's not given up on her. He's not going to give up on this yet. Now, Ruth, and we're going to come back to Malion. We've got a problem, though. See, Ruth was a Moabitess. And according to Deuteronomy 23:3, it says, the Amorite and the Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. And so here God's saying, you know what? Because of what the Ammonites did and the Moabites did, When they are not coming in, and even just because they tried to hire Balaam to curse you, and remember God ended up blessing them anyways, they are not to come into your land. So we've got a good thing going on here. We've got a wonderful thing. God is not going to let the seed die out of the land because Boaz is going to raise it up. But the problem I'm running into here is I'm looking at this and I'm saying this marriage is illegal.
How so?
Because Ruth is a Moabitess. She's not even supposed to be in the land. Now, some people say, well, it was only applied to the male. Well, you know what? I don't know if I necessarily buy that. What's happening here seems to be illegal. How can this be? This whole marriage should not even be allowed. Why is it that God would somehow bless what he said in his word was not possible?
Hmm.
And I was racking my – how could God do this? Exodus 12:48.
Huh.
And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourneth among you. I don't know if we understand what this is saying, but folks, what God is saying here is that if the stranger comes into the land, I don't care who they are, if they're a stranger and they come into the land and they're going to keep the Passover, if they're going to do the things that God says that he wants them to do, he says, you know what? They're not going to be a stranger anymore, but they're going to be as one that is born in the land. They're going to become a part of Israel. And the same law that applies to the Israelites now applies to them because they are as one born of the land. Hallelujah. Ruth got born again. Yes, she was cursed. Yes, she had no right in the land of Israel. She should have been completely tossed out. This marriage was illegal. But because God said if the stranger comes and he now does the things that God says, he shall be born as one that came in the land. He or she got born again. Hallelujah. God was able to take the cursed thing that deserved no part of the land and make it a part of the land. So here Naomi was weak and she thought God was so angry with her. But in reality, the Lord was preparing the way for the Savior to come, not just through Ruth and Boaz, but through Malion. See, back to Malion, folks, because Malion died and the law of the kinsman redeemer comes into effect, now Malion has a part in the lineage of Jesus. I know he's not mentioned in Matthew and in Luke, but he is a part of the actual lineage of Jesus because of the law of the kinsman redeemer. Now Obed, which was born unto them, is of Malion's seed too. It's to keep his name alive.
Wow.
But see, folks, what I'm trying to tell you that is even if you have been the curse, even if you have been the fallen, you've messed up, you've been the lost of the lost of the lost, God says if you'll do the things, if you'll come to him, if you are willing to die to the flesh, you can have a part of the Savior also.
Yes, amen.
This is, folks, do you understand what Ruth's saying here? Malion, if he had not died, he would have had no part in the lineage. If you won't die to your flesh, you'll have no part in the Savior. It's that simple. God is saying, listen, I don't care how bad you've been. If you are willing to allow me to crucify the flesh, if you are willing to lay down the carnal nature, you too, by God's grace, can have a part in this inheritance. This is the God that we are dealing with. Paul mentioned it in his word. He said he died daily. He had to lay down that flesh. And folks, we can do the same. And no matter how bad we've been, God can renew us and we will have a part with Jesus. See, Naomi's weakness, in her weakness, the kinsman redeemer came near. In your weakness, folks, the kinsman redeemer, and his name is Jesus, draws near. And his drawing near was to bring about a blessing like none other. Not only was this son to keep Naomi's family alive, but God actually gave Naomi this son to whom the Savior, Jesus Christ, would come from his loins. God wasn't mad at Naomi. He was preparing the way for the greatest blessing that's ever been talked about in the universe, and that is the blessing of the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, who came to save the world. And verse 16, Ruth 4:16 says, Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi.
Wow.
Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So this child, God ends up giving it back to Naomi.
Wow.
Because it's like, this is born unto you, and it is where the Savior is going to come from. Folks, God is not trying to harm you. He has not forgotten you. He might just be preparing for you a life-changing experience like you have never known. When we are married to the world and we are in love with the world, then we have no need for the kinsman redeemer. You have nothing to be redeemed from because you're happy with what you are. But when you're willing to die to the flesh, when you are broken and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? And you're at the bottom of the barrel and you just cry out, that's when the kinsman redeemer comes and he offers you a part with the Savior. Hallelujah. Folks, the kinsman redeemer draws near to the broken. He comes near to those that are in need. And this cursed, unwelcome Moabitess ends up being actually in the lineage also with, as the physical lineage of Jesus, a Moabitess.
That is amazing.
Forbidden because she got born again. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Ruth got born again, and Malion is now in the lineage of the Savior. And the whole time Naomi said, call me Mara, God saying, no, you are still blessed. You are pleasant, and I'm going to do something like you've never seen. And now your child, who knew not of what was coming, will forever be remembered because he has a part in my Savior.
Yes. That is
wow.
Huge. That is huge.
Folks, God. There's actually so many more parallels. It just takes, it's too much. I already jumped forward and skipped a bunch tonight. And I know we read a lot of scripture, but I challenge you, read this book of Ruth. There is so much to be gleaned for because the kinsman redeemer is drawing close to his remnant people in these last days. God has a message, and he is wanting to reach anyone who is willing to come and be a part. Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And here God, he's reaching out to literal Israel. He's trying to get his own people. And now he's reaching out to the church, and he's actually reaching still out to Israel today. And he's saying, come. But too many in the church aren't willing to come. They're satisfied with their so-called religion, and they're satisfied with just going to church once a week in this, you know, verse a day keeps the devil away type religion. And God's saying, please come, and they won't. And so it continues on, and he says, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Excuse me, verse 4. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready and come unto them. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and eventually entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. He said, you know what? That's fine. If the church doesn't want to hear me, if they don't want to hear the message, because history is every time God has sent a prophet, every time God has sent a real message, it seems like that messenger or that prophet has been persecuted. And so he's like, you know what? Fine. That's cool. If that's the way you want it, that's fine. And verse 9 says, therefore, go ye into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And he said the king, and then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so God says, look, go find everybody you can. If they're come, if they will come, just bring them in. Come on in. But God says, you got to have a wedding garment. God wants everybody he can, but he's still saying, you need to come by the way of my son. If you don't know who Jesus is tonight, if you think God has been against you, if you want to be a part of this wedding feast, I challenge you, cry out to God, get on your knees and ask the kinsman redeemer, ask the Lord Jesus to draw near unto you and to do the work in your life. And don't worry about the things you've been going through, because just maybe it's those things which have brought you to the point that you're at now where you can receive Jesus into your heart. God doesn't want anybody to miss out, but he wants you to come through the Savior, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus. Folks, I get passionate about this stuff because it feels to me like so many people, they're struggling so hard out there and they don't know where to turn. And God is saying, listen, come home to me now. I want you to trust powerful God that I've been speaking of tonight, that he can do what he says he can do. And if he said he would never leave you nor forsake you, you can take that one to the bank. Naomi thought she was forsaken. Job wondered if God even cared, but the Lord was there the whole time, and he had a blessing in store which they could never even imagine. Ty, would you close us out in prayer this evening?
Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to be grafted into your lineage, Lord. Mm. Thank you for making it possible for us to partake of the fruit from the tree we did not plant or do anything with, Lord. You did everything that we needed to be saved. And you graciously gave us every means for us to be saved by coming into your presence. And we want to just thank you for that now, Lord. And we want to pray for everyone out there under the sound of our voice that can hear us, Lord, that they find. And I want to pray, Lord, for us here, that we continue to spread the word of God so that more may come into your fold. And in Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, thank you for being with us. Live radio is interesting. No room for mistakes on live radio. Yeah. But you know what? By God's grace, thank you. We got through another program. But here's the deal. Next week, God willing, we are going to talk about that sign that I've been telling you about. We got a lot of research. It's amazing. It's explosive. It's exciting to see just how close the return of Jesus is, but things are going to get crazy before. And so keep praying. God be with you. The remnant is the apple of God's eye. Know that he will be there all the way till the end. It is my blessing for each one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.